Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Too much glare on my glasses. Commenting on the election in Hungary. So the election, Modern Ördöszak, going ahead in 5 days. Parliamentary, not presidential elections that are in a different year. Anyway, it looks like Fidesz is going to lose office for the first time in 16 years. And Orbán Viktor, the prime minister, will be defenestrated. So looks like Tisza is going to win. And Tisza, obviously, that's Hungary's second biggest river. The biggest one obviously flows into other countries so much, the Danube, or they call it Duna in their country. Changes its name, Donau, Dunarea, depending which country it flows through, being the longest river in Europe beside the Volga. So the much younger leader, Péter Magyar, the leader of Tisza, would take over. There was also a Count Tisza, who was the prime minister of Hungary, you know, before the First World War, if I've got that right. Whereas Orban is coming up for 60 years of age. This guy's in his late 30s, if I've got that right. So there's been healthy economic growth under Orban Viktor. Now people say, oh, he's a tyrant and so on. I mean, hold your horses. I'm always told, because of the European Union and the European Convention of Human Rights, you cannot have a dictatorship in Europe. You cannot possibly have tyranny. So these Eurofanatics, you can't have it both ways. Either that's a lie, because he'd be kept in check by the European Convention of Human Rights, or if it's true, the European Convention of Human Rights is worthless because you have a tyranny in the European Union. So people need to tone down the rhetoric. It's important not to get carried away with this silly hyperbole. Obviously, there are bad things to say about him, but you know, he's not a dictator, he's not a tyrant, he's still a multi-party democracy. There are free and fair elections which the governing party could easily lose, and people are allowed to criticize him. I mean, he's just done things I think a bit distasteful about closing down universities. He thinks that are promoting dissident ideas, but you know, you get that everywhere in the European in and outside. It's still a bad thing. You get that in the United Kingdom, you know, persecution of dissidents and stuff like that, criminalizing people for defending human rights. So, I mean, I don't like Orban Viktor at all and some of his xenophobic rhetoric and trying to militarize society, soldiers in uniform and not carrying guns, walking around all the time and have some sort of role in society, and his anti-Ukrainian rhetoric. So he seemed to stand up for the national interest. Rather few Ukrainian refugees have stayed there because they're not going to be welcomed. I mean, they will get some sort of minimal social support. Indulged in Islamophobic rhetoric and so on. So he doesn't want many refugees or immigrants and so on. And trying to get more funds out of the European Union, often withholding them, because Hungary is one of the poorer countries in the European Union. Of the 27, you know, it might be like sort of 17th economically, but it's still made major advances. I haven't been there since just before the Ukraine war. And, you know, even then we thought it was quite likely the Ukraine war would begin. And I was in Debrecen, not so far from the Ukrainian border. Along we came to Miskolc, which is even further east. Right. So he's right of the pro-Ukrainian movement within the European Union. He hasn't advocated withdrawal from the European Union or indeed the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And he's one of only two EU prime ministers to have been to Moscow since the war began, the other being Robert Tisko, who is the prime minister of Slovakia, his neighbor just to the north. Both reliant on the Druzhba, ironically named friendship pipeline from Russia, supplying oil and gas. And they don't want to lose out getting exemptions, so not sanctioning them, blaming the Ukrainians, partly advocating for the ethnic Hungarian minority in the northeast corner of the Carpathian Mountains in Ukraine, and so forth. So, yeah, he started out in the late 80s as an anti-communist. But now he's very friendly to Russia. And I know Russia's not a communist state, but has brought back elements of Stalinism. But it looks like he's finally run out of road, and he's just not delivering enough for the people. People got fed up with him. He appeals to some older people. Ironically, his party name means young Democrats, but they're not young anymore. They're young when they're founded in the late 1980s. And so Tisza was founded just over 2 years ago. It's got really popular, but you know, I think it's probably going to win, but not by much. So that'll be good news for them. And the other parties are much, much smaller. The DK, which is like the Democratic Coalition, is only going to get a small percentage of the vote. Has really declined. A lot of those people have gone to Tisza, and our homeland movement, Mi Hazanlik, like I can't even pronounce the rest of it, led by Laszlo Toratskai, I hope I pronounced it correctly. So they are the ultra-nationalists. So Majer has been cautious, and he said he wouldn't automatically allow Ukraine to join the European Union because Orban said he'd block it forever. Holding up that 90 billion euro loan for Ukraine because he wants whatever concessions. And obviously he's the toast of Moscow, going to get the cheap oil and gas. So whereas Pieter Major, and his surname means Hungarian, he's not ultra-nationalist despite the name. He might say yes to that loan, but he thinks, well, I can't be seen as too pro-Ukrainian. And then with incredibly convenient timing, a bomb is supposedly found on this pipeline in Hungary, and Orban is now accusing Ukrainians of being about to blow it up so that there's no way that they could get oil and gas from Russia. Well, you know, Ukraine ended those oil and gas flows over a year ago. And bizarrely, during this war, they were still allowing this and getting the transit fees from Russia. But they say the transit fees we get from Russia are nothing compared to the profit Russia gets. Stop it completely. Why on earth would we facilitate the economic growth of a country that's trying to destroy us, has committed so many atrocities in our soil? So Orban is so, you know, so selfish about this. You know, Ukrainian civilians being murdered in huge numbers. And I do mean murdered. I don't mean killed accidentally in war, deliberately murdered, as well as children kidnapped and so on. And he's worrying about the price of oil and gas. Well, that is petty compared to the lives of these people. Remember, there's a Budapest memorandum signed in Hungary, where the United States and the United Kingdom agreed to guarantee Ukraine's frontiers when Russia recognized them in 1994. And of course, Ukraine handed over its nuclear arsenal for free to Russia in the terms of these promises to respect their borders and their independence. Hungary wasn't actually a party to the treaty. It just was a venue. So it'd be very good news if TISA were to win. And, you know, perhaps in this case, it is. So it seems he's the depths of cynicism. Orban Viktor, J.D. Vance, the vice president of the United States, has flown in to campaign for him. He's a very cynical, bitter, twisted, deeply furious, nasty, vile individual, J.D. Vance, who actually disbelieves in a lot of the Trumpist agenda, but doesn't have the backbone or the common decency to say so, to denounce things he knows are evil. And of course, he is deeply unsympathetic to Ukraine's fight for freedom. And there he accused Zelensky of campaigning for the opposition in the United States when he visited, in fact, with Joe Biden, when Biden was president. Where here we see J.D. Vance campaigning for, okay, the governing party, but against, you know, the opposition to Pyotr Mojar. And Mojar is the challenger, just like J.D. Vance and Donald Trump were the challenger in the United States last time. That's interference in the internal affairs of another country. The very thing, because of the things that J.D. Vance decries, except that he's doing it himself. So it's sickeningly hypocritical. So anyway, it's all very worrying. All right. So anyway, looks like TISA will win, not by much. Yeah, I only say looks like. It's like their lead is maybe 5% of the polls. That's almost within the margin of error. That if they win, it might be by less than that. They might have to have some sort of coalition. One thing is the MSZP, you know, the old socialist party that they declined. They sort of split up and so on. So Fidesz and TISA are way out in front. And so Orban Viktor, he sees himself campaign against us, the MH, you know, the Our Homeland Movement. So they're outflanking him by being more nationalistic, more xenophobic. Goodness. So, yeah, we'll see the results. What day is today? Tuesday. We'll see the result, you know, next Sunday or something. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, the new PayPal, georgecarlson@gmail.com. I think it's a blatant hoax, the supposedly Ukrainian bomb in the Hungarian pipeline, which didn't go off. If you wanted to false accuse Ukrainians and not risk killing or injuring anybody, even damaging infrastructure, you couldn't do a better job. If the Ukrainians, they control, you know, 1,000 kilometers there. They could very, very easily do that. And the Hungarians couldn't stop them or find it. So it's just so blatantly an electoral hoax. Goodbye.